It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It is the Brady and the Bunch. This is something that, this is an interview that I've been kind of wanting to do, but I kind of got to it in an indirect way. So I am a big fan, and it's funny because I am so anti-outdoorsy, and I'm just anti-good at anything with my hands. Like, I'm not good with cars. I can't bait a hook. I've never been fishing. Like, I'm just bad at all this stuff. But when I go on television, I always will watch on Animal Planet, River Monsters with Jeremy Wade. I love that show, and he's the extreme angler and fishing enthusiast, and I will do my Jeremy Wade routine and my British accent for him. I love that show. I love it. Goes all around the world, finds these insane fish, including my favorite one is the Goliath tiger fish that he found back in the day. I thought that thing was just going to come through the screen and eat me. So I was watching River Monsters recently, the episode where he was in Lake Champlain and he found the sea lamprey, and I was talking about it with somebody, and they go, well, you know, this guy Drew, who lives locally, he was actually in that episode of River Monsters with Jeremy Wade. So I was like, okay, on one hand, I got to get Jeremy Wade on, but two, I got to get Drew on. So Drew Price is here with us now. Drew, thanks for being with us, man.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
I appreciate you joining me. So is that they call it angler, not fisherman, not fisherwoman, not fisherperson. Angler is the official term.
That's my preference. I mean, I think it's kind of like a step above fisherman. You know, I'm a little obsessed with fishing.
Yeah. So let's start here. Now, you have a very, very thorough website, which is pretty awesome. So we'll get to that momentarily. But professional angler, is that how you would tie? I mean, is this a second job, a side job for you, or is this is everything?
It's a second job.
Okay.
You know, I'm a part-time guide, okay. Mostly during the summer, but I work as a paraeducator in South Burlington.
Okay. So how did you get into fishing? Let's start there.
I started when I was six. My grandfather took me trout fishing. Never caught it. I didn't catch a fish with him, but I managed to hook him in a pocket. And he claims that, you know, I caught a 175-pound sucker. So that was the start of things. And I guess I got serious when I was in college. You know, I just started fishing with buddies, and it was like, wow, this is kind of it.
And what was the fun part of it? Was it the camaraderie of just being around people? Was it, hey, I can drink a beer in one hand and fish with the other? Was it the thrill of the hunt for the big one? What's kind of the appeal of it?
Well,
all of the above?
A little bit. I mean, I don't really drink when I fish.
Yeah.
I like to keep my wits about me. And
very responsible. I would be the same way, by the way.
Yeah.
I can't drink while playing golf. These people are like, oh, yeah, I go out and golf and, you know, have a six-pack. I'm like, who are these people? Golf is hard enough when you're completely sober. I don't need to add six beers to the mix.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I'm on Lake Champlain. I'm a no-motor guide, so I'm in a canoe. And, you know, sometimes I'm like 3 or 4 miles away from the launch. If a storm comes up real quick and I've been drinking beers in a canoe, I'm in trouble, you know,
yeah.
And that doesn't seem like a good idea.
And that's the other thing too. And we kind of joke about it, but you talk about storms. You also talk about what if you do hook the big one, and if the big one comes on and it's 75 pounds, this thing's going to try to pull you out of this little canoe. The last thing I need to do is be inebriated while doing it.
Absolutely. You know, and I catch a lot of big fish on light tackle, and, you know, if you are out of it in any way, you're going to lose that fish.
Do you do most of your fishing on Lake Champlain only, or do you travel around the globe doing this?
I travel mostly around the state of Vermont and New York. You know, I've traveled to fish like in Florida, which I've really enjoyed, but I've really focused my attention here in this state.
Why? Just because it's easier travel-wise, or because it's a unique ecosystem to conquer?
Well, we do have a really unique ecosystem. Lake Champlain is an incredible place. It's really a lot of different ecosystems come together in one place. So the diversity that's in Lake Champlain and the fishing opportunities that are in Lake Champlain are really incredible. And, you know, like I could go all over the place and go for a million different fish, and there's a lot of other fish I would like to catch. But I really want to focus my attention on one place and really learn how to fish it really well.
So what, I mean, like, I guess let's just start with the basic questions. I don't even know how many different kind of fish are there in Lake Champlain. I'm sure that number's in the hundreds. That would have to be, wouldn't it be? Or is it very limited?
It's 88 species.
Okay.
Of which about 65 or 70 are native.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a lot of fish. If you think about it, in the entire state of Washington, there's only 54 species of freshwater fish.
Really? I would have thought it was only salmon and that was it.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, we got all the little minnows and all the other, you know, besides sport fish, there's, you know, there's about 35 or so sport fish, but then the rest of them are like minnows and other stuff that you don't normally think about.
So when you catch fish, is it catch and release? You want to catch it just to study or do you want to catch it for food?
Well, great irony in my life is I'm deathly allergic to fish.
Really?
Fish and shellfish, yeah. So if I eat it, I'm done.
Wow. But you can't touch it. I mean, you can catch it and handle it?
I can handle it. It's, you know, it's basically the blood and guts. You know, if I handle it with bare hands when I'm cleaning a fish, I will get hives.
Wow.
So I got to be careful. You know, I've accidentally eaten a shrimp egg roll before and been pretty nervous. But
so the allure of it truly is just the thrill of the hunt and learning about the water that we live and play in.
Absolutely.
So what kind of fish is most prominent in Lake Champlain?
Is
that a stupid question?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a stupid question. It's a hard question to answer.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the most common game fish, I would say, in the entire lake is yellow perch. You go out fishing, you're going to catch a yellow perch at some point. But I mean, as far as what I go after, that really changes by season.
Okay.
And what is, you know, available to me, what's easy access. And you know, like this time of the year, I'm chasing carp and bass.
Yeah.
That's because that's what's around. But you know, like June is a smorgasbord. There's a million different things that you can fish for. You can fish for bass, you can fish for pike, you can fish for bowfin, you can fish for gar. You know, there's a lot of different fish that are around. So
I'm not a political person, so I don't really know the answer to this question, but we always hear about global warming and the impact on ecosystems. Have you noticed the lake change? Maybe not even as a result of global warming, but has the lake changed in the time you've been fishing it?
Absolutely. And I would say global warming is definitely a factor in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing, you know, either later seasons or earlier seasons, the fall trout season goes a lot longer than it used to, like the actual season you can fish ends at October 31st, but it stays warm enough that those fish are still active into November. They're actively spawning into November. Whereas they used to be done by mid October. So that's a big change. You know, you're looking at different times for ice out. You know, there's times that Lake Champlain doesn't get much ice formed on it. There's other times that Lake Champlain, you know, doesn't have ice out until late. Like this year, it was really late. It was like April 17th that the lake finally got ice off of it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's about 2 or 3 weeks later than normal. So, you know, I've definitely seen a lot of changes.
You mentioned 88 species of fish, but you only said 70 of which are native or so. So are you noticing more and more invasive species coming into Lake Champlain?
Well, you know, over the past, you know, 20 years, there's definitely been about, you know, 3 or 4 new species of fish. The alewife is a species of fish that got into the lake about 15 years ago.
How does it get here? Someone catches one and how does it get here?
Well, that's an interesting question in itself with a really long answer. We don't know if it came in through the Champlain Canal. We don't know if somebody accidentally or intentionally put it here.
Yeah.
But it has completely changed the deep water ecosystem in Lake Champlain in a matter of, you know, within 5 years.
Wow.
It wiped out, basically wiped out the smelt population. And smelt fishing used to be like the number one ice fishing target on Lake Champlain. And they're virtually gone now.
So I was reading your website, you do primarily, you said canoe fishing.
Yep.
Why a canoe versus, you know, me just taking out a sport boat that you people go out recreationally on? Why a canoe versus any other boat?
Well, two reasons. One, I can get into places that somebody in a conventional boat cannot get. I have, you know, like 2 or 3 inch draft in the canoe. So I can get into places that, you know, very thin water that most, like a big boat can't get into.
Yeah, true.
And number two, to have a motorized vessel on Lake Champlain, you have to have a captaincy. And I have made the active choice to not get a captaincy. There's a lot of work behind it. And I'm really happy about how I do this. You know, it keeps me physically fit, too.
Doing a lot of paddling and rowing all over the place?
Paddling and push pulling. I actually have a platform in the back of my canoe that I stand on, and I have a 15-foot push pole. So I'm push pulling on Lake Champlain.
So you also do a lot of fly fishing, and that's your primary way of fishing. Why fly fishing versus, you know, bait worm or bait smaller fish? Why fly fishing?
The challenge.
Okay.
I get to make my own flies, so I can customize the bait that I'm using to you know, whatever I see the fish are taking. So, you know, it kind of satisfies, like, I guess the artist in me.
Yeah.
But also, you know, casting is – to learn how to cast a fly rod, to be effective with a fly rod, it takes a lot of work. It's a lot like, you know, I don't hunt, but I have a lot of friends who do hunt.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between archery and hunting with a gun. And archery is a much more challenging sport. And it's basically fly fishing is like the archery of the fishing.
Interesting. So yeah. I asked you if you were a catch and release person versus someone who's taking in these fish on their own. So it feels like you have a general appreciation for the ecosystem as a whole. So I feel like you're not the person. I don't know if looked down upon is, that's probably too strong. But people who are just out there just for the kill, you're probably not one of those people, I'm guessing, at heart.
Well, not at heart, but you know, I have no issue bringing home the occasional fish for friends.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly do that, and I have like I think of like a limited harvest. You know, like, you know, there's certain fish out there like sunfish. There are so many sunfish in Lake Champlain. You know, go out and definitely have a meal of them. But you know, you get into to the fish have much more limited populations. Or you know, you need. You know, certain size individuals to have successful spawning. Yeah, you want to be careful about the fish that you're taking and the number that you're taking.
Now, I started the podcast talking about river monsters and what a big fan of the show I am. Jeremy Wade was here, and the crux of the episode was he was looking at an invasive species. He was looking at sea lamprey, which is a danger to the fish population, and I guess to a smaller degree, the human population that can get bit by them and whatever. But how bad is the sea lamprey problem in Lake Champlain? Is it as bad as it was made out to be on TV?
Well, you know,
TV has a way of overdramatizing things.
There is no question that was overdramatized. As far as sea lamprey being a danger to humans, they are simply not. That is a huge fallacy. The guy who was on there, you know, claiming he had one stuck to him and ripped it off, and it, you know, swam back and tried to get at him again. That's a total fallacy. They can't do it. they do not get 4 feet long like he claimed. They do not get as big around as your wrist as he claimed.
So this was one person. This was this a swimmer in Lake Champlain who was saying these things.
Oh yeah,
and Jeremy came to investigate the validity of his claims.
Yeah, and I mean they do stick onto stuff. You know, they stick onto boats on a regular basis. They'll stick onto paddle boards, kayaks. You know, I hear about this all the time. They will stick onto a swimmer. The thing is, they feed on cold water fish, right? So if they were to stick on your flesh, and I've caught lamprey, I've stuck them on me. I helped out with trapping sea lampreys on Lake Champlain for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at one point. And you can stick them to your forehead. And I did that just kind of like what Jeremy did in that episode.
Yep.
I've done that many times, and they don't chew into you. They have to be on you for a really long time to be, you know, to chew into you. They're not a danger to humans.
But we still do want them gone because of what they can do to the fish.
Yeah, what has happened with fish in Lake Champlain is there are so many sea lamprey right now that you'll get a really high wounding rate, which does not allow those fish to grow to their potential as fast as they normally could. You know. There's some people who believe that sea lamprey were a native species in Lake Champlain, and you know, like back when lake trout and Atlantic salmon were found in Lake Champlain before you know Europeans got here, they got really really big. You know, like a 30, 40 pound lake trout would not be unusual. You know, now a 20 pound, you know, somebody just caught the first 20 pound lake trout out of Lake Champlain just a couple years ago. But, you know, if you have a single one or two lamprey on a 40-pound fish, it doesn't really affect it. But when you're dealing with a 3 or 4-pound fish, it has a major impact on that fish.
So what was your role on the episode of River Monsters? Because you weren't directly involved with the sea lamprey part. You were with the other things that Jeremy was showing about Lake Champlain.
So I was a guide for the gar and the bowfin. That was, you know, a big part of the episode. So he's looking for the fish that is causing this wounding. So he goes out and he looks for, you know, checks out the bowfin, which is a really primitive fish. I mean, they're virtually unchanged, 350 million years, really cool fish, mouthful of teeth. They fight like crazy. And we actually caught one that had a lamprey scar on it.
Okay.
Lamprey don't normally feed on bowfin, but lamprey, when they go into spawn, they don't go into their natal stream, that like the stream that they were born in. They actually just stick on a fish to catch a ride, because they're not a very strong swimmer. So they basically, that's what happened to this bowfin. It, you know, had one stuck on its side and caught a ride. The lamprey caught a ride and then dropped off. But, you know, they were able to use that in the episode as, you know, look, oh, you know, what's this strange mark on the fish?
So how did you get selected by Jeremy personally, by the Animal Planet? How did he get hooked up with you?
So they got in touch with the sea lamprey control people at U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And they're like, well, you know, we're interested in catching some other fish while we're here. Who do we talk to? And they're like, you should talk to Drew Price. And
wow,
boom, there it was.
So how long does it take to, I don't know if film the episode is the right way of asking, but how long was he actually here for? Because sometimes I get the impression that he's in one place for a month. Because look, fishing is not something you can time. You might catch it on the first day that you're there. It might take you 3 weeks to catch it if you ever catch it. How long did this whole process take for you and Jeremy Wade?
They were here for 2 weeks.
Okay.
They had a lot of different filming to do, not just with me. I was with them 5 different days. For filming various things.
And was that because, were there days where you were shut out completely? You were out there for 6 hours, you never saw what you wanted to see?
No, I mean, we lucked out. The spring, that was filmed in the spring of 2012. We actually had a fantastic weather spring, and we lucked out, although the first day was probably the worst weather day. That was pretty entertaining filming with them. We had a couple other people who were in boats, you know, helping with the film crew, and the weather was less than stellar that day. It's kind of funny. The director, we stopped for lunch and we were going through the woods to try to find a dry spot to eat, and he tripped and fell and boom, landed on a $5,000 monitor and just ruined it right there.
How is the process of fishing when you're fishing on that big a scale with all these people around? Because part of the art of fishing is not disturbing the ecosystem and not trying to ruin it and causing the fish to get spooked and go off. But there's a lot of commotion. You know, you're talking with Jeremy. The crew is there. Jeremy's probably relaying information to the crew. There's just a lot of people around. There's a lot of turbulence going on above the surface. Does that impact anything below the surface?
Well, you know, they actually have a fairly minimal crew. They're filming with, so it's Jeremy that's on camera. They've got a camera guy, they got a sound guy, and they got the director. And it was me. And then, you know, a couple buddies who had a chase boat, basically.
And what's the chase? Is the purpose in case something bad happens?
I'm in a canoe with Jeremy Wade. They need a camera boat so that they can film what's going on.
Yeah.
Although for a while the cameraman was in with me and Jeremy.
Gotcha. Okay. I was thinking there were 3 separate boats, but it's still just the 2. It's all the people you just mentioned in that. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty interesting. There's a lot going on, and we ended up with the camera guy in behind me when we were fishing bowfin. Fishing bowfin is a really interesting game. You're really hunting fish. It's a visual game. You're actually seeing these, you know, pretty big fish. They can be up to, you know, close to 3 feet long. They're in shallow water, so you actually see them, and they will come to the boat.
Yeah.
I've developed a pretty interesting system on how to catch these guys. I'm in the middle of the boat. The camera guy's behind me. Jeremy's in front of me, and he gets one. We net it. We get it in the boat. And the camera guy is filming behind me, and he's filming between my legs. And you see me once from a distance from the chase boat in, you know, paddling Jeremy around. But what you actually see of me the most in the episode is the top part of the screen is my butt. And he's holding up the fish between my legs.
Do you feel nervous at all in that situation? And I only ask that because I think I would feel pressure. Like, I've been selected. I've been recommended as the guy who can show you, you know, who can help you accomplish your goals. And look, television goals are still to make money, still to have ratings, still to get advertisers, etc. I would feel pressure being the guy like, okay, they chose me. I need to deliver for him so that his show can deliver. Did you feel pressure?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. I mean, anytime I have a client and I'm on Lake Champlain going after these fish, I'm feeling the same thing. You know, like somebody wants to catch a bowfin or somebody wants to catch a gar or whatever they want to catch. I'm out there like, all right, I've got to produce. And, you know, I was very fortunate with River Monsters. They were, you know, they nailed it weather-wise. We found the fish that we were looking for. I've had clients that have come to me and not found, you know, the fish that they were looking for. And, you know, I've been really fortunate with the clients that I had. I've had one client who this year was his third year with me. He'd been going after gar, hadn't caught any until this year. We'd seen them, but he had never sealed the deal.
When you say client, are you talking about me who's never fished before? You're going to teach me and we're going to go out? Or are you talking about someone who is a higher level fisher person that wants to go out and, you know, I got a very specific goal and here's how we're going
to
do it?
I tend to do the more experienced anglers.
Okay.
You know, I have a very specific skill set that and I don't really advertise a lot, and people who want to do
this podcast needs a sponsor, Drew, just so you know.
So do I.
Yeah.
You know, I'm known for oddball fish on Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
And that's what people come to me for. And I like it that way. I don't want to be chasing, it's not that I don't enjoy, teaching new people how to fly fish. But that's not really what I'm interested in doing when I'm in my boat. I'm out there like, all right, let's find the big fish.
If somebody wants to work with you sometime or go out on a boat with you, how can they do so?
Best thing to do is the masterclassangling.com.
Masterclassangling.com. Now, for River Monsters, where was that mostly filmed, or where did you take Jeremy on the lake? I always got the impression that it was between Burlington and Platte. I always thought it was like around the ferry route. That's just where I was guessing that this was going down. Am I completely wrong? Where are we?
You are completely wrong.
Okay.
And honestly, because of the amount of times that I spend on the lake and the fact that I guide, I tend not to tell the places
okay.
that I fish.
Fair
because,
enough. Fair enough.
I like to use the Lord of the Rings quote, keep it secret, keep it safe.
Yeah.
And, the less people that know about the places that I'm fishing, the less pressure is going to be there and the easier the fishing is
going to
be.
Fair enough. But I was wrong. It was not the ferry. That's what I was just thinking.
Okay. No.
So completely wrong there. Interesting.
That place can fish really well, but not for those guys.
I hesitate to ask this because I'm such a big River Monsters fan. They always say don't meet your hero because you could always be disappointed by them. Was Jeremy a good guy?
Jeremy is an awesome guy.
Oh, good.
He's a really awesome guy. He was a lot of fun to spend time with. And he actually came back later that summer. He was trying to get his pilot's license, and he was doing that in Grand Isle. And he fished with me for a day, and it was the first time he'd fished in a year and a half without a camera on him.
I think that's amazing. I read on his website that he said that Lake Champlain was one of the more fun explorations that he had had.
Yeah. They had a blast here. You know, like, they were psyched to be here in Vermont because they actually got to stay in a real hotel and they had real food. I mean,
yeah, there was no tent and mud hut here.
Exactly. I mean, they were telling me some horror stories about some of the places that they'd stayed. There's this place in Africa where they've got like live wires going through the hot tub that's in their hotel room. And it's like, well, you know, like, they're in Vermont. They got to chill.
Unbelievable. So also I wanted to ask you this. I think we all know that fishing is very difficult no matter where you're doing it. But, you know, when I think about fishing in the Caribbean, I think about clear blue water, pretty visual. Maybe I can see things a little easier there. What's the challenge of fishing just in a murky lake?
Well, Lake Champlain is not a murky lake.
Oh boy. Now I've insulted people. So.
Well, you haven't insulted.
Let's edit that out.
Yeah. Well, there are definitely places that it is muddier. Or you have, more turbidity, which is basically it's not as clear water.
Yeah.
But there's also places on Lake Champlain where it's gin clear.
Hmm.
The zebra mussel has actually cleaned up Lake Champlain a lot. And I actually have to use a special type of line called fluorocarbon, which it disappears in the water. It's got like a very similar density to water. So it disappears in the water. And I end up using that line a lot to be able to hook fish. It definitely. I know a lot of people who have switched to using fluoro to better their chances. But you know, Lake Champlain is so diverse. You can find places that are, it's really muddy. You can find places that's really clear. I mean, it's, you know, there's places you're fishing in 2 feet of water. There's, I have charter captain friends that are fishing in 150, 200 feet of water on a regular basis. So, you know, it really depends on what you're going for, where.
A couple episodes ago, maybe 10 episodes ago or so, 5 to 10 episodes ago, I had on a guy who leads dives down on Lake Champlain. Mm-hmm. They go and explore shipwrecks that are down there, and they see what's on the bottom of the lake. Do you ever have any interest in what's going and seeing what's going on below the surface?
I do, but I'm asthmatic, so I can't get...
asthmatic and allergic to fish.
Yeah. I got some challenges, but who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
I'm definitely interested, and I've checked out a lot of underwater footage, and there's some really cool stuff down there. There's a lot of really amazing things on the bottom of Lake Champlain. I mean, this is an incredible lake. That is what has kept me in Vermont.
Hmm.
Lake Champlain, it's 120 miles long, 11 miles wide, 7.5 trillion gallons of water. So there's a lot to explore.
I was watching River Monsters recently, and I've seen every episode, but I've seen every episode 10 times. And I was watching the one recently. They were in Oklahoma, and they were teaching Jeremy how to go noodling, which is where you're looking for a catfish, and you stick your arm into, I guess would be like the catfish nest or its den area, and you just try to pull it out by its mouth.
Yeah.
What would the appeal of that be? Like, I'm putting my hand in the catfish's mouth so it can bite down on it, and I'm pulling it out by the jaw. What is the appeal in that?
I have no clue. I have no desire to do it.
Because it's terrifying? I mean, it would be terrifying. Number one, I'm going beneath the water. I'm sticking my body into a crevice, which I guess being asthmatic wouldn't be good. Even if you're a good swimmer, I wouldn't want to do that. And then I'm getting my arm bitten by this thing. Like, who are these people?
I don't know. I mean, some of the places they do that, there's alligator snapping turtles, there's alligators, there's venomous snakes. No thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on all of those
absolutely
things.
Absolutely.
It was interesting. I was there last year, probably, I think maybe it was in October or November, but it was the first time ever that the VPA, the Vermont Principals Association, had put bass fishing in as a high school sport.
Yep.
And I was there on the day of the state championships. And it was actually really, really cool to see these teams of, I want to say it was five was the max, maybe six. Mm-hmm. You go out, they were on Lake Champlain near the the marina entry and near the sandbar. And people were catching fish, and you had an hour to go out and do it. Do you think it's cool to see bass fishing as a high school sport in this state?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of fishing. Bass fishing, it really isn't my thing.
Yeah.
But if you're out there enjoying the resource, and I think getting more kids outside and on the lake and enjoying what is available to us, it's a great thing.
And I fight that fight all the time with my favorite sport, baseball. Kids don't want to play it. It's too slow. It's too boring. How can we get kids interested in baseball? Have you seen a drop off in kids that want to get into fishing in any way just because it's hard. It takes a long time. Not everyone likes to be outside for 8-10 hours a day. I would imagine it would be a hard sport to sell, but once you sell it, I think you're hooked for a lifetime, pardon the pun.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. It's really hard right now. I mean, kids have so much going on between, school and after school and, a lot of other distractions from, YouTube to Instagram to all the video games that are out there.
Yeah.
And, I grew up running around playing in the creek behind my house, which I'm sure is what instilled the love of, being outside in me. I don't think kids are doing that as much as they used to.
If you could catch, is there any kind of fish on Lake Champlain you haven't caught?
There's a few.
Okay. What are the ones that are eluding us?
Right now, the one fish that I think would be really interesting to catch is a fish called a quillback. It's a type of sucker, and it's a threatened species. I'd just like to see one.
Yeah,
and it'd be cool. I've caught most of the major game fish species, and I actually just last year I completed the Vermont Master Angler Program.
And what does that entail?
So there are 33 species in the program, and you have to catch a fish of a minimum length and submit a photo to say that you've caught that. And so it took me 8 years to go through the entire list of fish. And I finally got the last one last year.
Wow.
And I'm the first and only person that has done that.
Yeah. Are there a lot of people signing up to do this?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do it. If you go on the Vermont Fish and Wildlife website and look up Vermont Master Angler, you can see all the entries that have been put in. And, there's, I don't know, in the hundreds of entries every year. And there's definitely people who put in fish every year. If you get five different species in a year, you get a pin. And, you know, I was just like, I see this, I got to do it. And I actually set out to try to get all of them on a fly rod. I got to 24, and then I was like, I got to try other methods. So I've actually used every method of catching fish in the Vermont Master Angler Program except for shooting with an arrow or spearing it. So like every
can you use a net? Is that illegal?
That's illegal.
Okay.
That's illegal. You can't use your hands in Vermont either. That's illegal. But every other legal method of taking fish in Vermont, I have used to enter fish in the program. And the other thing that I think is really cool, all but two of the species I've entered, I have either been on my own 2 feet or in my canoe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So it's pretty cool.
My last question, just because I'm curious, ice fishing.
Yep.
How difficult is it? Easier? Is it difficult? I mean, how do people do it under the conditions? I see people doing it. A lot of people do it. Our listeners listen to it. I drive by the sandbar. I see people doing it.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in doing it. One, I'm still terrified of going through the ice. You could tell me it's 30 feet deep and I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
But just tell me a little bit about ice fishing, I guess.
I just got into ice fishing about 5 or 6 years ago. And I, for a long time, I was like, people are crazy doing this. I don't know why you're doing it. But the more I found out about it, the more interesting I found it because, you know, once you have a good layer of ice on Lake Champlain, you can get to places that you can't get to any other way. I mean, and you can fish places. You can walk out to a reef that's a mile and a half out and you're fishing it, you're vertically jigging it. And you can't typically do that in a boat because you have to have a glass calm day. And you know, as you know, if you've been living here for a while, you don't see a lot of glass calm days on Lake Champlain. But boom, here you are. You're able to walk right out there and fish that spot. More people actually fish Lake Champlain during the ice than during the open water season because of that access. I mean, you do have to have some specialized gear. You know, you want to have really warm clothes. You want to have the ice spikes so if you do go through, you can get yourself back out.
Wow.
You got to have an auger. I use some more specialized equipment. I use I have what's called a Vexilar. It's a sonar unit to see what's going on underneath you. I mean, that's kind of cool.
It feels like cheating.
Well, you know, I thought it was cheating for a long time, but, it really does give you, you know, you drill a hole and you're in 75 feet of water. You know, if you don't have that, you don't know anything is underneath you.
Yeah.
So, boom, now
just
you know.
Wasting all your time.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you're not going to spend your entire day in one spot and not get anything. And it really does make a difference. The cool thing is you actually see your lure. You can see the fish. And it's kind of video game fishing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Drew Price, Master Angler, man. We appreciate the time. Again, I love learning things that I know nothing about. So we add this one to the list, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.